Picture this. Deep jungle, 6 a.m. November cold. You see first rays of sun shining as it falls on the dewdrops that cover the grasslands. Jungle sounds, birds, animals, the smell of the forest, and the colors, blue, green, yellow, pink, purple, red. Fresh air that just seemed to cleanse every little bit of you. Now picture this. Within that beautiful forest, you are on a safari vehicle, patiently waiting to get a glimpse of the king of jungle. You go from one end to the other in search of tiger, clicking every bird, deer and sambar, but in vain. When the last half an hour of safari time is left, just then you see your majesty walking towards you. You capture that moment in your camera and in your memory before heading for a scrumptious breakfast in the middle of the jungle. Parathas, toast, muffins and a hot cup of tea. Come evening, you see some more tigers. Back by 7 p.m. to your jungle lodge, you meet other photographers and travelers and discuss the day's highlight along with dinner and bonfire by the riverside. This is the usual day for a wildlife traveler.
Welcome to Travel John's podcast by two traveling Indians, Huma and Sudeep. I'm excited because today we're going to talk about wildlife and national parks in India.
Do you know there are 104 existing national parks and 566 existing wildlife sanctuaries in India, which roughly covers 5% of the geographical area of our country. We have almost 45,000 species of plants and 91,000 species of animals, including 350 mammals and 1,200 bird species. That's how abundant and rich our wildlife is.
Wow, that's quite a lot. How did you develop interest in wildlife, Huma?
I was born in a hill station called Pachmadi, which is the queen of Satpura jungles in MP. So the love for jungles and wildlife didn't result out of any flash moment, but I've grown up with it. After our exams, our breaks would mean jungle picnics, walking up the hills, going to waterfalls. I can still smell the air of Satpura. It's so ingrained.
I get it. I have been with you there twice. But moving on, where all have you been to in India?
I have been to almost all major popular parks and sanctuaries in India. Bandhavgarh, Kanha, Penj, Satpura in MP, Tadoba Umrid in Maharashtra, then in Rajasthan, Ranthambore in Jawai, Nagarhole, Bandipur in Karnataka, Mudumalai, Masinagudi, Periyar in Tamil Nadu, Gir in Gujarat, Kaziranga, Nameri and Manas in Assam, I forgot Corbett in Uttarakhand, and some more.
I don't think we have much left now, but given the such a big list that you have, what would be your favorite, I say, top 6 wildlife destinations in India?
Difficult to rank that way, but we'll try. Say Corbett and Penj for jungle beauty, for mm-hmm. sure. Bandhavgarh, Tadoba for high chances of sightings. Gir for lions, Jawai we did recently for leopards and very different landscape. Kabini would be a mix of everything, and it's nearer to Bangalore as well, so a big advantage. However, safaris in MP I found are more satisfying due to the safari time that you get, and also you get to have lovely breakfast in the middle of the jungle, just like in Africa. We have been together in many of these places, Sudeep. What would be your favorite wildlife moment?
Well, my favorite wildlife moment would be at Tadoba, and I'll tell you why that is. I had a couple of my colleagues in US who were very eager to spot a tiger had come down to India, and I had to show them. So we thought of going to Tadoba, and we had booked 4 safaris over the weekend. Excited as we were, for the first 3 safaris, we had seen absolutely nothing. Lots of pug marks, lots of calls we heard, people saying tiger this way, that way, but we had absolutely no sightings. So much so that the US colleagues had got disillusioned and thinking whether they should do the 4th safari or prepone the flight to Bangalore and save some time. Somehow I could convince them to stay for one more, and even on that safari, for the first 3 hours, was again nothing. And it so happened that we were just sulking for our luck in one corner with no other vehicle around us, that we heard some calls and we said, you know, here it goes again. But then suddenly a huge tiger came out just in front of our Jeep, and it was so close that the driver and the naturalist said, "Let's back up, we are too close." And as we were backing up, we saw another male tiger just behind us, perhaps 6 meters or so. Seeing two such huge tigers at the same time actually got my US colleagues nervous, and I could see their scare in the video recording. But it was like, what a moment. And it was not just that. After that, as we were turning around, and sometime we saw the famed Matkasur of Tadova, who came out and actually walked in front of our Jeep for the last, I think, 4 or 5 minutes. And even then, when we were going back towards the gate, we saw another male tiger chase a bear. So what we didn't see for so many hours, we saw 4 male tigers in just, what, 30 minutes. That perhaps has been the best wildlife moment of my life. And I'm glad that my US colleagues witnessed that.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was. So this is how safaris go. And I think, Homa, you should share the basic safari tips before we proceed further.
So I would say plan your trip at least 3 to 4 months in advance, as safari slots are usually limited. Only a certain number of jeeps and canters are allowed by the government each day. Some parks allow you to book even 6 months in advance, but in parks like Tadoba at present, it is best to book within 2 months or less for best rates. So you can check this out on state government websites before you proceed.
Mm-hmm.
Your ideal time for most jungle visit is from October, November to May, June. Summers being the best for sightings of animals around waterholes. Northeast, it's little different. November to April is the best time. Then I would also say that safari is best experienced in an open jeep.
Right.
Even compared to canters for the view and less noise. And even the ease of photography. So you should ideally try to book jeep safaris as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Importantly, appreciate the colors and sound of nature. Please wear greens and browns in jungle. No loud colors. We have seen people wearing yellow, red and all. Then we have to keep a safe distance from wildlife and observe silence. No noise and disturbance to the wildlife. You know, I would say that we should talk more at home when we are with the family than in the jungles. In jungle, we should simply learn to absorb. It's like meditating when you get to connect to the nature. Lastly, I would say about the photography. So photography enthusiasts should take as many safaris as possible, and patience is the key, of course. Sudeep, you can talk about photography and the kind of gear you carry to wildlife destinations for our, you know, people who love to do photography.
Okay, so as for me, there are 4 aspects of clicking pictures in national parks. The first one is zones and gates. Parks are divided into various zones, and certain gates allow you to be in certain parts of the park or called zones. For example, in Kabini, there are 2 zones, zone 1 being the wooded zone and zone 2 being the zone around the river and the water body. From experience, most tiger sightings happen in zone 1, though if you look at beauty, zone 2 is extremely beautiful. There are various websites and sighting indices available which collate sighting data on a daily basis from these national parks and publish indexes. So I would suggest that before you book your safari in a particular gate, look up these websites and indices to maximize the chance of spotting wildlife. That's the first point. The second point is about cameras, lenses, and what do you carry. Normally, any camera which has a higher FPS or frame per second, ideally at least 5 or more, would be a good camera to carry. A full frame camera captures more details compared to a crop sensor, and that's how cameras go. Since you will be spotting wildlife from a distance, you would require large lenses of 500mm or above, and sometimes if you are even distant, then carrying converters, a 1.4x converter or a 2x converter, makes a lot of sense to capture. Since you are capturing from a distance at such a high level of zoom, a camera shake is very inevitable. So we carry what's called bean bags, maybe over tripods, because these could be kept into various positions in a car, and a lot of noise gets cancelled. That brings me to one more thing, that normally cameras, lenses, bean bags, tripods, etc. are a pretty expensive affair. to carry for wildlife photography. But nowadays, with many cities, we have got rentals which are available. So actually, if you just call up them and they say that you are going to a particular wildlife park, they will at least tell you what gear you should carry, and then you can actually rent out the whole gear at a fraction of a cost than what it would have costed you. So that's the second aspect about cameras and lenses. The third thing is about the park and timings. There is always a debate about morning or evening safaris. In my view, morning safaris give you the longest amount of time in the wildlife park, and hence you have the highest probability of spotting. But I have also seen from personal experiences that in the evening, when the dusk comes up and creatures being nocturnal in habit come out more easily. So it's not a question of morning or evening. I think it's a question of morning and evening safaris. And as a photographer, you should perhaps maximize your timing inside the park. It's also an experience that I have that open Jeep safaris are much better for clicking pictures over closed buses or canters, because you get a lot of freedom to move around and also position your camera at a higher length or at a lower fold on the Jeep. Lastly, once inside the park, listen to the sounds around you. Calls happen between various species, but when you hear multiple species giving calls of alarms, it means that a big cat is near. If you hear intermittent calls, that you can probably understand that wildlife is passing from a far off area and it's not a big risk for them. When you hear all these and you are able to coordinate your movements of the vehicles, you will probably be in for much better chances of spotting wildlife and clicking them through your lenses. So here you are. These are the four things I believe help you improve your photography and clicking inside the wildlife park.
Thank you, Sudeep. In fact, we would still call ourselves amateur photographers. So we'll soon do a special episode on wildlife photography and call some of our photographer friends who have spent considerable amount of time in these forests for a more detailed perspective. Now, let me get to our section called Cut the Clutter section, in which we address common FAQs just to help our listeners with some ready answers to plan their trip. Today, for wildlife, we would talk about when to go, how to reach, how to book a safari, popular zones, and where to stay for some of the destinations wherever possible. Let me start with Kabini, which is hardly 4 hours from Bangalore. So there are two zones in Kabini, A and B, and three gates to enter those zones. Zone A is a wooded area and Zone B is close to Kabini backwaters. Now, in Kabini, the safaris are, Jeep safaris specifically, are operated by jungle lodges only. So it makes sense to stay in jungle lodges, which is owned by Government of Karnataka. There are no private safaris. And if you're not staying with jungle lodges, then you have to book the safaris either through the resorts or by going to the forest office, that is Damankante Forest Office. Till last year, there was online booking system. There was a website, nagarholetigerreserve.org, but this year they have changed it. Now let's talk about Bandhavgarh. So the nearest airport is Jabalpur. If you're going by train, you can get down at Katni or Umaria. Umaria is smaller compared to Katni. There are three core zones in Bandhavgarh: Magdi, Tala, Khetoli. And three buffer zones. Magdi and Tala are comparatively popular, but you have to, of course, as we said, check the sighting index to know exactly the sightings at that particular time when you're booking. For all MP forests, Bandhavgarh, Kanha, Penj, you have to go to forest.mponline.gov.in website. And you can book all your safaris there. You do get Jeep safaris. You can book single seat, you can book full vehicle, depends. When it comes to Kanha, you can even go to Nagpur, Raipur, Jabalpur. So all these are near to Kanha. There are four core zones: Kanha, Kisli, Mukki, Sarhi, and four buffer zones. Kanha, Kisli, Mukki, all of those are popular, at least till last year when we went. Penj, of course, Nagpur is nearest, and there are three core zones in Penj: Jamtara, Karmajhiri, Turia, and there are two buffer zones. Karmajhiri and Turia are little popular. Then comes Tadoba. For Tadoba, of course, Nagpur is the nearest airport, and if you're traveling by train, you have to get down at a station called Chandrapur City. There are three core zones: Tadoba, Moharli, and Kolsa, and six entry gates for these core zones. Tadoba, you enter via Kolara and Navegaon. Moharli, you enter via Moharli and Khutwanda, and Kolsa, you enter via Zhari and Pangadi. There are 12 gates for entering the buffer zone in Tadoba. And if you want to book your safaris, you need to go to the website mytadoba.org. At present, it makes sense to book within 2 months of your travel for best rates. Now comes Corbett. Of course, Delhi is the nearest airport, and if you're traveling by train, you can go up to Kathgodam and Ramnagar as well. Ramnagar would be a smaller station. There are five zones: Dikhala, Bijrani, Jhirna, Dhela, and Durga Devi. Corbett also has online booking system. You can book your safari on corbettonline.uk.gov.in, which suggests staying in Forest Guest House at Dikhala Zone, because you get to do Jeep Safari in Dikhala Zone specifically only if you are staying there. Otherwise, in other zones, of course, you can do Jeep Safari. But here in Dikhala, if you don't stay in the Forest Guest House, you can only do Canter Safari. And when we went, Dikhala Zone used to be very beautiful because you get to stay within the core zone. Bijrani and Jhirna are popular as well. For that, you can stay, you know, anywhere near Ramnagar. I have been to Gir as well. So the nearest airport for Gir is Keshod Airport and Rajkot. The railway stations, nearby railway stations, are Junagadh and Veerawal. When I went, there used to be 8 popular routes, and I remember 147 being popular. There are 3 safari slots there, 2 in the morning and 1 in the evening. They even have one small Devalia park. If you don't get to see any lion, you can see there, because that's a protected area and they have kept some 2 lions there. There is a website to book Gir Safari as well. It's girlion.gujarat.gov.in. The last we can talk about is Kaziranga. So, of course, the nearest airport is Guwahati and Jorhat, 2 airports, sorry. And there are 4 zones there. Central zone is Kaziranga zone. Western zone, Bagori you can say. Eastern zone, or Agra Toli zone. And the Budha Pahar zone. So, the elephant safari happens in Central and Western zone, so hence they are popular too. And I couldn't find any online website for booking. I went some 3-4 years back, and I remember that we had done the safari bookings there itself a day before. So that's it.
Lot of info for the time being. For other forests like Ranthambore and Javai, we'll perhaps do another episode. Anything else you would want to add, Huma?
Yeah, I would say let's all genuinely respect jungles, wildlife, their habits and habitat. Be it any national park or a sanctuary, please don't go to jungles with return on investment in mind. Idea shouldn't be just seeing the big cat. In fact, being able to get to these pristine jungles in itself is a big gain. We should really treat forests like treasures and make sure that we don't add any harm even in our imagination.
True. True. So let's end here. Thank you, listeners, for your time, and stay tuned for our next episode. Ciao.
Ciao.